Because this is the gathering of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah Ta'ala with His blessings and mercies, with the sadqa of His mercy, has given us some moments where He has enabled us to sit down to do His dhikr, to remember Him. And from the rewards of, regarding the rewards of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, the Quran, the verses of the Quran and the hadith are full of the mention and rewards of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained and coached us with regards to the adab of how to do dhikr, the manners with regards to dhikr. And dhikr is such an action that Allah ta'ala accepts this action. But if you do dhikr with the adab, with the requirements, the base requirements, the base manners and attention, then you get the total and extreme reward and benefit. Allah says, "Wad'u khawfun." This is something that the pious predecessor said, that "Wad'u khawfun." With regards to the dhikr of Allah, this is a mention in this verse. So the first thing, adab, adab, the manners, the base requirements, the minimum requirements. So we should have khawf, khawf. What is khawf? When the servant of Allah, he is benefiting from this great reward due to doing the dhikr of Allah. He's sitting to recite Allah Ta'ala's name. And he's going towards Allah Ta'ala's remembrance with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. Then what does he need to do? He should have this understanding that I'm doing this dhikr and I'm reciting this great name. He should have that feeling. He should have that recognition of what? Of his deficiencies, of his sins, of his wrongdoings, of his disobedience, of his acts of disobedience. And that individual should think about such sins that he has committed in the past. Because about the sins it is stated that there is an excess has been committed against Allah, the Creator. Yes, a person who sinned, has done wrong, a clear, plain and open sin that a person knows I am doing a sin, or he knows it's a sin. And there's no doubt to understand that the action is a sin. You know it's a sin. And on top of that, that sin, whether it's in the environment around us, amongst the society around us, whether it's in our homes, our dwellings, whether it's in tajarat, business, etc. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us the distribution of the deen for our whole life. And our whole life is, you could say, formed of two parts. Obedience to Allah or disobedience to Allah. So if we have done sin and we know that we are committing the sin, for example, we know that this action XYZ is a sin and I am doing this action XYZ. And on top of that, I'm stubborn. Or I say, oh, it's okay. Doesn't matter. You know, if I don't do this sin, what will the people in the world say? It's, you know, it's the way of the world nowadays. Well, my family is forcing me. I don't want to do the sin, but my family doesn't allow me to stop this. So this is excuses, lame excuses in front of Allah. It's a major sin or it's a sin. We know the law of Allah. We know what is haram, what is unlawful. And on top of that, we present excuses to commit the sins. Oh, I'm forced to do it. The day and age we're living in, the modern era, etc. And it doesn't make any sense. The excuse doesn't stand on its feet. And I make an excuse in front of Allah. Who am I trying to deceive? As a Muawiyah radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith in Ahmad to recognize the sin and save ourselves from the sin. To recognize and save ourselves from the sins, because the sin brings ghadab. It brings the ghadab of Allah, the wrath of Allah. It's so dangerous that when a person disobeys Allah, then Allah's ghadab comes on that person. And when the person obeys Allah, then Allah's rahmah comes on that person. So the two extreme opposites. So when a person sins, there should be khawf. It should be khawf. And when a person sins, there's no. You should have khawf and not sin. But when we do dhikr, we think we've sat in dhikr of Allah. We think we've sat down for dhikr of Allah. And we don't have khawf. We should have the feeling that we're immersed in the sins. We're destroyed. I've committed bad sins in my life. Sins upon sins are in front of me. So this is called khawf, fear. And this is the adab, these are the adab of dhikr. And if we do dhikr in this approach, with this approach, then that dhikr is unique, as a unique form. Because when an individual does dhikr in this way, with extreme khawf and regret in his heart and remorse, then alhamdulillah, with such dhikr, all of the regret and acceptance of the sins, and even if there are the sins there that you weren't forced to do it, and it wasn't due to the dunya, and you accept that I committed this sin, and I am a sinner. I committed the sins and I'm doing sins. Allahu Akbar. Then this is called khawf. And the benefit is what? Like, there's one benefit of this. The person who does dhikr in this way, with this recognition, then after dhikr, when he stands up, he won't commit the sins. Then he won't make a game out of his life, and his dhikr will be genuine. I'll give you an example here. You can say it's a unique example. Driving, a person's driving, you know how to drive a car, and you're behind the steering wheel, and you're sitting behind the steering wheel. You've just sat in the car to drive it. Now, when you sit in the car, then you look at your car, it's fine, and everything's in order. You fasten your seatbelt. Why? For this reason, if I don't fasten my seatbelt, then the police may stop me. The police may stop me. And they may reprimand me. So I go into the car and I fasten the seatbelt and I give the indicator right, I give the indicator left. Because I have the recognition and awareness of how to drive a car. Because if I don't use the controls, the police will stop me. Then I use the right route. I don't go into the opposite direction on a one-way street. And I turn in the correct way. Why? Even if it's a long route, why? Because again, the police, the authorities, they will come to me. They'll approach me because I went opposite to the law. I broke the law. Then I look at my speedometer while I'm driving. What speed am I driving at? I'm not going further than that. Because if I drive fast, the police will stop me. And if I'm driving incorrectly, opposite direction, and I don't go past the red light, no one's there to see me. But what is the khawf in my heart at that time? Oh, maybe the police will see, notice that I went through the red light. So every law I will fulfill. Why? On this basis that if I break the law, the police will stop me and I drive in that way. So what do we call this? The driving out of fear. Fear and recognition of the regulations. When you drive with that fear and awareness, then totally, most definitely or most probably you won't have an accident. You won't get stopped. You want to have a policeman asking you questions, and with ease you can drive to your destination and come home with comfort. And this is the driving with khawf. And then you have the driving without the fear. You don't fasten the seatbelt, you don't look right, you don't indicate right or left, you don't look at the traffic lights, you break the traffic lights, you're driving. He's driving as well, but no khawf. Who's going to stop me? Who cares? Let's see what happens. Enjoy. He has no fear. He has no fear. And a person who doesn't have fear, then definitely, most definitely, he will hit an obstruction, have an accident or a problem. Always the person who makes the mistake is the person who does things without hindrance and without khawf. So when a person sits for the dhikr of Allah with khawf, with fear, Allah could grab me due to this. I did this deed, I did this sin, I did this wrongdoing. And when he is then free from the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, then a lot of rewards he will have attained due to his khawf and regret and remorse, just like a person drives with khawf. And if you sit in dhikr without khawf, then I've mentioned the hadith to you. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. Every sin brings ghadab, wrath and punishment. So if a person does dhikr and then commits a sin, he has the same lifestyle, Allah has given him a reward of dhikr, and he still sins. He still sins. So this is the first adab manners of dhikr. Step number one, when Allah gives us tawfiq to do dhikr, then in parallel with dhikr, totally with our efforts, we should put all of our situation in front of us and do dhikr and request from Allah. And then Allah says, khawfun wa tam'a. Subhanallah. This is, look how great and beautiful is the language of the Quran. Tam'a, Allah Ta'ala says. That after khawf, fear, comes hope. Fear and hope. May it not be. Why? May it not be that the human being keeps on thinking about sins, his wrongdoings. And when such sins come in front of us, because we are human beings, we know, and our Mawla Allah knows, that on which platform I lived my life, which phases did I pass through, what did Shaytan make me do in darkness, in light, in hiding, in the openness. And I don't even remember, I don't even know, nobody will know. Instead of who? That individual. Apart from who? That individual and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And he's sitting, he's thinking about his sins. And shaitan, he attacks that person mentally and spiritually. Shaitan says, oh, look, all of these sins. And you start remembering all of your sins. And then you lose hope. Oh, I'm finished. Oh, my feet and my hands swell. And the sweat comes on my forehead. This many sins I've got. I don't know if my dhikr will be successful. And totally I lose hope. That person loses hope within seconds. And he breaks down. Shattered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this point has mentioned that in this state, in these emotions, you'll have to maintain hope. Don't lose hope. Don't fear. Don't shake. Inna rahmatullahi. Allah ta'ala says, my rahmah qareebun min al-muhsineen. Allah ta'ala says, remember. Remember that the dhakireen who remember Allah, how does Allah address them? Muhsineen. Allah says, you are the muhsineen. You sit, you remember me with khawf. Allah says, don't worry. I give you encouragement. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't be a loser. You've presented your sins. You've recognized your sins. You accept your sins. And this awareness and regret will take you to the heights that after that you will not commit the sin. You won't repeat them again. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Inna rahmatullahi qareebun muhsineen, Allah Ta'ala says. Then you now are in the group of those select, elite, exclusive group. Muhsineen, qareebun min muhsineen, Allah Ta'ala says. Qareebun means what? The elders in Islam have stated the tafsir of this, that when a person loses hope, doesn't matter what situation befalls that person, you're sitting, you're thinking about your sins, you did bad things in your life, and you're doing dhikr. And in dhikr, you have doubts and whispering of shaitan. Then maintain yourself, doesn't matter how bad a sin you committed or what you did. Doesn't matter, Allah says, don't fear, don't shake. Allah says, remain steadfast. Qareebun muhsineen, because very soon you will see the rahmah of your dhikr in the form of Allah's mercy. Aha, what great encouragement Allah has given. Don't fear, don't fear. Qareeb, Allah says, Inna rahmatullahi qareeb minal muhsineen. Very, very quickly you will see Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. And this meaning, the definition of quickly is very beautiful. I'll give you an example. That there's a person who is sick. He is severely ill. And we take that ill person and he's struggling. A woman, old or a man, they get ill. And what do they need? No. The hospital is near. Please, we're getting there. Have patience. We're there, qareeb. Or a child, you want to stop him crying in the car. It's okay. We're nearly home. We're just a few minutes away. Just like the ill person going to the hospital. Don't worry, we're nearly there. Allah says, don't fear. Your sins, they're dragging you. Just stay steadfast on the deen. Allah says, very soon, illa rahmatun. Allah says, it's qareeb. My rahmah's coming to you. It's close to you. My mercy is close to you. And what does qareeb mean? That your mouth is going to come soon, your death, and between you and your death there's a very small gap. Ask a person who's dying, who's after 80 years, 100 years, who's died. The Quran is speaking. Ask him, how long have you lived on the earth? He'll say, oh, it's just a few hours. It feels like my life went so quick. Is it in the Quran? The person who for 100 years he was retired, then how long was it that you were sleeping? And he said, oh, just a few seconds. No, it was 100 years, or nearly the amount. So Allah Ta'ala gives encouragement. Don't fall into the trap of the whispering of shaitan. Don't remember your sins. You've come onto the right path now. Don't look about your sins time and time again. Doesn't matter what your conditions, the dunya is forcing you, or laughing at you, or criticizing you, or smirking at you, or your family. Don't worry. Only a few days to go. Allah says, very few time, the less time in this world. You are on the right path, the haq path. Inna Allah Ta'ala is inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsineen. Allah says, my rahmah will come to you, my nearness will come to you, and you will be the muhsineen. Allah says, don't worry, there's only a few maybe moments or hours or years left in your life, and when you pass away you will say, I don't even know how quick the time passed. Allah says, have courage, don't go back to the sins, because sin is the dangerous territory. So brothers, let's say the name of Allah. Let's do dhikr. And dhikr doesn't mean Allah, Allah, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. Recite the kalimat, I'm Naqshbandi, I'm a Sufi, I'm Chishti, and I've got this title, I'm this sheikh. No, the objective of dhikr is to reach to the destination. Am I reaching to my destination? Put the objective in front of you when you do dhikr. And what is the objective for all of us, for all our lives? That we pass our life correctly without disobeying Allah. This is the objective of doing dhikr. Not any small speck of a dust of a sin should come in front of us. Environment, society, family, home, business. And if then you are forced, so-called, to do a sin? Allah says, don't put the burden on you. No one's forcing you to do the sin. Live cautiously. Distress, life, problem, poverty, no money, no wealth. You're living a tight life. Allah says, don't go towards haram. Doesn't matter if your business falls down. Everything goes down the drain. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter how much the dunya laughs at you. But we are not going to do the action of the sin due to which Allah will become displeased with us. We have to stop those actions in every way, because I'm not going to take a stride or a step towards the wrong. Remember this, I'm speaking from the language of the Quran, that good fortune and good times isn't that I've got a lot of money, wealth, bank accounts, I've got a few shops, businesses, retail units, mal is coming. This is not good fortune and happiness. Happiness is not defined by wealth, my brothers. Happiness is something else. If this money, wealth, assets, business transactions are moving along and progressing, and they are alongside the obedience to Allah, you are saving yourself from the sins. You're not disobeying Allah. You're not committing the sins. And you are praying on time, in jama'ah, in congregation, and your shop doesn't stop you from going to the masjid, your business doesn't stop you, no reason stops you. And the biggest thing we need to see, that we say, oh no, I should have my own business. And to get a business, the first thing what we do, what does the insan say? Allah Ta'ala says you should have balance and correctness. Okay, I'm working for someone, I don't want to be an employee, and I can't pray, and I can't pray in jama'ah, in congregation, do dua, Allah gives me my own business. When you get your own business, then what do? Then you are worse than what you were before as an employee. You're worse. When you have a shop, it's a qiyamah, it's like the day of judgment for me to close my shop to go to pray salah. If I sacrifice one customer and the masjid is four shops away, I can hear the adhan to this extent that the Jummah prayer, I leave my shop last, I enter the masjid last. I'm telling you the reality. The shutter goes down last, and I'm so stingy in my heart. Why? Shaitan makes me like this. Because Allah Ta'ala says that you are not happy if you have wealth and stacks of money and hoarding wealth and material assets, and you're my salah is not correct, spiritually I'm not correct, and I am kacha, and in my home I've got money, wealth, houses, vehicles, money, my children are happy, they've got the new cars and they're happy. This is not happiness. Happiness is the definition of that state of affairs, that you don't have wealth, money, assets, okay, or you have assets and material wealth, and on top of that you are obedient to Allah. That is happiness, that is rahmah. Otherwise, what I call happiness and quality of life is azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the azab of Allah. It is the worst azab I'm taking to my home. The wealth I take in the plastic bags, cash in the bags, sealed up, and we save it and hoard it. We're happy and we go and count it and show it. We eat with ease and we're chit-chatting about business and all of this, and we deny the deen, we ignore the deen. Wallahi, the Quran says this is my adab, says Allah. Don't think this is rahmah, don't think this is happiness. Allah says very soon you will realize what is happiness. Huh? Happiness. If Allah gave you wealth, assets, shops, businesses, and you save the money, then this is the fadl of Allah if you are practicing the deen that Allah has prescribed to you. Qulu washrabu. Allah Ta'ala says, yes, don't stop eating, don't stop drinking. And you can have chickens, you can have roast chicken and boon ki chicken, and qulu, totally vegetables, anar, pomegranates, meat, food, delicacies. Washrabu, drink what you want, whichever mashroob that Allah has made halal, lawful, drink as much as you want. First class life, high class, good quality of life. Allah has not prevented. Great walis of Allah, I've seen and read their waqiyat. They used to wear great libas, especially in the Naqshbandi silsila. MashaAllah, this is our situation. They eat good, wear good, and do good dhikr at the same time. That's what our elders say. Eat a lot. As much as you want, eat nice food, drink nicely, live nicely, wear nicely, but do dhikr nicely. Not, we don't have to wear torn clothes with holes. Naqshbandi is like clean, pure, nice face, nice libas. Allah's given, with the fadl of Allah, Allah's given to you, then mashallah, there's no problem with having wealth. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my ni'mah, wealth. But do dhikr at the same time. Practice the deen. Kulu washrabu. But Allah says, be careful. What is the caution? Allah Ta'ala says, these both things I've given you, the dunya, but Allah says, tusrafu, that don't consume haram in parallel to that. Don't leave salah towards dunya. Don't commit sins. Don't disobey Allah and then run after dunya. Total framework of life, total, should be in accordance with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people are told that what is your situation? You are the dhakirin. So this is how we have to do dhikr, my brothers. Dhikr, after standing up from dhikr, then when we do maraqaba, we think about Allah in our hearts. We do tawbah, we think about our sins. We should go opposite to our sins. We should have regret, remorse of the sins. We're standing, sitting in front of Allah, our Lord, our Creator. And when we depart from dhikr, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala promises rahmah. And here's another promise of rahmah. This is my rahmah. Watch it, that the sins that you are crying up for during dhikr, you are shaking, regretting, you are distressed, I did these sins. This is my rahmah, such that very soon, very quickly, all of your sins will be transformed into good deeds. Inna rahmatal, Allah Ta'ala says, qareebun minal muhsinin, because you've become my muhsin. Within a second, you were a sinner before, sayakar, drowned in the sins, bad situation. If you had died in that state, you would have gone straight into Jahannam, but you came, you sat. Half an hour, you did maraqaba, you did dhikr of Allah, and you remembered your sins, then you now have been transferred into the group of the muhsineen, and you have gone beyond the boundary of sin. And Rabbul Jaleel, Khaliq, Malik has said that you are now in the group of the muhsineen. The tafsir of this is long, we don't have time. Small message I wanted to present, the adab of dhikr, do dua, pray. Allah has given us the tawfiq of dhikr, so we should also do dhikr with adab. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.